My name is Mary Ann Gladowski, and I'm Barbara Jean Gladowski. My age is 76 and 78, and today's date is July 16th, 2020. It's Thursday, July 16th, 2020,
and we're speaking to you from Cottonwood, Idaho, the Monastery of St. Gertrude.
And this is my sister, Sister Barbara Jean. And I am Barbara Jean's sister, Mary Ann. At one time, I was a nun. We were sisters. So that's our relationship. So we'd like to share a little bit about ourselves with you. Shirley Temple Black and her experiences as Rebecca at Sunnybrook Farm was a movie experience. The Gladowski girls,
Barbara Jean
and Mary Ann, had a real life experience on the Sunnybrook Ranch. I believe that who we are today reflects our past.
And when we look at our past, first of all, we had parents that always put God first. We never missed Mass on Sunday. We often would go to sleep at night listening to Mom and Dad praying the rosary. Dad had such a love for soil that he, one time when I was going to college, I asked him, I said, "Dad, why are you a farmer?" And he said, he brought me out to the field and he lifted the soil and he said, "This is too cool yet." But he said, "When this is warmer and the moon is just right, I'll plant and then God will help me water. God will give me the sun to grow and then we'll harvest." So I had a real sense of being rooted into the farm life.
And really rooted we were. At the age of third grade, about 8 or 9, I was handed a hoe. I got the feel of it and what to use it for. As a family, we would go out, all of us children, with our hoes and hoe and help thin out weeds from sugar beets. And so that was a lot of work for us, and we did that until I left home every summer. But we made a lot of money an acre, a dollar. But we were learning the value of work, the value of money, the value of being part of a greater system called the farm family. And so we learned the difference between a weed and a beet. And if we didn't do it well the first time, we had to go back in October with a shovel and get the weeds out. So responsibility creeps in.
We grew up on also the potato farm. And so the potato would help. We had to cut potatoes, making sure there was two eyes in each quarter. And we had to help with that piece. And then we had to help with not only the farming, then we also had to help with all the harvesting. And we worked in the beet fields, the potato fields. We had to be released from school. And so one of the neat things about Dad, he gave us opportunities to drive all kinds of vehicles. We had to learn how to drive a tractor first. Then we had to learn to drive the truck. And then after the truck, we could do the stick shift. And then only would he give us the automatic shift to drive.
Well, I would say it was interesting. Not only did we have responsibilities outside, we also had responsibilities inside. And it seemed that we were the only two girls out of, a family of six. Our youngest brother died, but a sixth counting the children. We had responsibilities inside, and mine was always the bathroom. So I thought I was picked on a little bit, because that was one of the dirtiest jobs I think I had to do. And did I learn anything about the kitchen? No, I got as far as the doorway. Mom always said, "Well, isn't there something you need to do outside?" So I never got in the kitchen. But Barbara Jean learned how to make pancakes with baking powder, or what's that? Anyhow, she measured wrong, and we had 124 pancakes instead of 24.
And then we looked at Mom, and our mom had such a cute sense of humor, and she had endless creativities. She loved to garden and can, and her recipes were, she would never follow a recipe. She always had to create around it. And she never threw away anything. She kept all the potato water, and she kept the potatoes, and that would go into the baking. And so a lot of times mom and my aunt would both have the same recipe, but mom's things always tasted better because she just could never follow a recipe. She always had to put in something unique and special about it. And then she always reused and never threw away anything. Again, that was another value that we were taught, to respect the land, to respect the animals, to respect the people, not to throw away, to live life with simplicity.
We were never too young to interact with adults on the ranch. I remember in the earlier years, you used to have to go pick potatoes. And that was taking a sack, dragging along the row, and putting potatoes in it. You got paid by the sack. And then later on, and right when school was out, I would have found myself down in the potato cellar. We had one. And cutting potatoes, cutting to make sure you saw the eye of the potato. And I worked with adults. I was in junior high, and here were these ladies. And I learned the value of that. From there, went out to the beet field. And then when Dad got a picker, a potato picker, I worked the line with the ladies. And boy, you really had to be careful because it took fingers off. And if you had long hair, of course, I never had long hair. It would decapitate you almost, and there were horrible accidents on that, but we worked with it. We were allowed to do that.
And the beet harvester, the potato harvester, we just did all kinds of harvesting, drove truck, grain. Oh, I can just still itch with all the grain coming in.
From the grain.
Yeah.
But afterwards, Dad would come in the house, it might be 6, 7 for supper, and then he'd say, Dina, that was Mom's name, let's take the kids down to the hot baths. So down in Thousand Springs, Idaho, close to Twin Falls, Idaho, had mineral baths. So we did that. We learned how to soak as children, how to take those hot baths. Even one summer for a vacation, Dad took us up in the mountains to a hot springs. And that's where we children who were very young, maybe 3rd, 4th, 5th grade, were taking hot baths during the day. And that really sapped us out, I think, our parents.
Strategy.
Yes, strategy. Yeah.
So for that time with our parents and the values that we learned, then to look at my early years in the monastery and Mary Ann's early years, when I first got here, I discovered that they recycled here. And we're talking 1959. And they were recycling already. And I thought, you know, we learned that at home. You don't ever throw anything away. And but I wanted to go outside and work, and I wanted to go outside and mow the lawns, but they discovered I could type. So they stuck me inside, and I had to type for the library, and I was a little chagrined because she got to go out and
work in the environment.
Work in the environment.
I want to step back for a minute about Mom.
Okay.
How ornery she was.
Oh, ornery.
Yeah.
Sense of humor.
She had a sense of humor. And she used to have lines, and one line was the early line, was the one where we had to take baths. Of course, I'm not firstborn. Neither was Barbara Jean. So I don't know who got to take the bath first, but Dad didn't, not on this. But we had to take all baths in the bathtub, and there was a tub of water. And it was then thrown out and then fresh water put in for Dad. Another line was chicken line. Saturdays, come on, we got to do chickens today. Oh my gosh, Barbara Jean, you did what in the chickens?
Oh, chicken meant Mom would butcher I don't know how many at a time. My job was to gut them, to gut the chickens, and then she.
And then I got to singe them, you know. To this day, I cannot go into Kentucky Fried Chicken and get a piece of chicken that's got a feather on it, or even smells like a chicken. Then that certainly didn't help me any.
So when I came to the monastery, we had chicken parties here.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, I know how to gut them. So I would be there gutting 40, 50 chickens at a time. And
I'd be taking the feathers off when
so
I got.
It was just like, we're the same.
Okay. Dad also had a love for animals.
Yeah, tremendous love. We were really taught to respect animals. We were taught to respect the soil, animals, and you know, and that's the neat thing about the monastery, too, as we look at the monastery, because one of the things is that we treat everything as if it were a vessel of the altar. Everything is with respect. We have this Wonderful, wonderful mountain, wonderful hill here.
Yeah. That recently I got to climb.
Yeah, we got
again.
We got to climb it.
Got permission to come back. One thing that I remember about animals and love is that we always had horses. So we never played. I mean, we played with real horses. Barbara Jean says she doesn't remember doing that, but
I didn't.
I remember Dad, when we were younger, coming from the down the road with his team of horses, because that's the way he farmed. And he would put me up on the horse, and I can smell the horse now, and I can feel the bridles as we were coming home and the dust. And then, of course, we went from that to tractors and so forth and so on. I remember one time my brother Jim, who has passed away now from Parkinson's, was complaining to Dad, please get me a motorcycle, please get me a motorcycle, because he used to have to air gate. We had air gated land. That's hard work on air gated land. And my brother used to have to go shovel ditch, and the horse would come home, and he'd have to walk home. So give me a motorcycle, it won't come home. So one day, Mom was looking out the window, and here was Jimmy walking the motorcycle home. It ran out of gas, so I don't know what he learned from all of that. But probably one thing that my mother and father insisted on was a good education. We went to a parochial school. I started in third grade. That was 28 miles round trip. And Dad and Mom, because they believed in good education, with another gentleman, afforded a school bus that would take us back and forth every day across the Prime Memorial Bridge, which I thought for sure it was going to fall in when I went over it, to Twin Falls, Idaho, to a parochial school. And that's where I graduated, and I think you did too.
I did, in seventh and eighth grade I went there.
So when it came to learning, book learning, Dad said, he went to a private school in Boise, Idaho, the Cathedral School, but he was taken out to work on the farm at a very young age. So he's always valued that. There was no, even when I went to junior college, Dad didn't expect me to pay for it. He wanted me to be earnest about what I was doing and study is what he wanted to do. Not only, I think maybe when we look back, is that in the monastery, you learn Gregorian chant, and that was fascinating when I was a nun. And both of us have a musical background. Our father,
Dad played a saxophone for a band, and Mom had a beautiful voice, and Mom and Marianne and I and my Aunt Teresa, I played the organ for the church choir, and we sang all the way through.
And then when Barbara Jean entered the convent, they put me on the organ. I thought, hey, I'm not Barbara Jean, I don't know how to play keyboard. So they gave me lessons so I'd have to play for high masses. So I did it. I faked it most of the time. Oh, man, sweat. But in the earlier years when there wasn't television, and we were one of the first, well, we're the second oldest home in Jerome, but the first ones to get television.
Yeah, to get television.
My dad got that for us. But before that, they would put on the radio and the music and watch us dance, goof off, sing, and enjoyed it because our parents were very good dancers. And they used to go to Lawrence Welk in L.A. So they gave me ballet lessons, tap lessons, piano lessons.
Baton lessons.
Baton lessons.
Yeah.
And we lived on the ranch. And one thing is, I asked the accordion guy when he came to demonstrate, because they came to your home at those days to demonstrate how to play the accordion. I said, the only way we'll buy the accordion is if you put a box of bubble gum with it, because my mouth worked harder than my hands when I played accordion. So I'm a jack of all trades, but a master of none, and I didn't even master none.
And then I also learned the clarinet, and that was, you know, and I learned it in band because going to parochial school, I had to go into the band kind of late back in the public school in ninth grade. And so I used to go out and play the clarinet for the Steers, and they were a wonderful, wonderful audience because nobody in the house could stand my squeaking. And so,
the Steers, if I may interject here, also helped me learn my multiplication tables because they would all come up, give me reassurance.
So back to going to the monastery then, like I said, entering the monastery was, well, it was just a step from where we were before. A beautiful, this is a beautiful, beautiful mountain. And but we learned, I always wanted to be a nurse and get married. That was my goal. I never wanted to be a nun. And then I came up here because I got allergic to the sugar beets. And the doctor said I had to be off the farm for a while to get off my allergy. And I came up here and it just struck my heart. And so on my way down, I did take my test for the nursing school. But by the time I got back down to Jerome, I said to Mom and Dad, I think I'll go try it. And my attitude was, I'll prove to God I didn't belong. And like I said, here I am, ready to celebrate 59 years of profession in August.
I think going to the public school up to eighth grade, and then, public school 1 through 3 and Catholic school 3 through 8, and then public school, my parents decided that Mary Ann needed life experience, so they sent me to the academy up here at St. Gertrude's Academy. So, because I needed to interact with other young women my age, and so I was a border girl. And during the time of being a border girl, of course, the beauty up here, I'm sensate and an environmentalist at heart. I fell in love with the place. So I was having trouble discerning whether it was a vocation or I was just in love with a ski resort. So I studied in my junior year up here at the academy and joined a little group, finding out about the sisters. And the next year, my senior year, I joined. I started the process of becoming a nun. And I don't know if you need to interject.
Well, I was just going to say, when you became a boarder,
yeah,
it was really hard on me because I was a novice, and novices were cloistered. And so we had absolutely no contact with the outside world for a year. And to have her upstairs, one floor away from me, and see her often. And I'm not a rule. She obeys the rules much better than I do. I always cut corners and try to figure out ways to get around. And
well, we never broke your silence.
We never broke it. I mean, that was because she had more strength than I did, because I was tempted several times to do so.
The only time I got to speak to her legally, of course we never spoke otherwise, is when she had her appendix out and they needed somebody to stay with her all night. Then they found out that I had a voice. And so I stayed with Barbara Jean during that time. But my entering the convent was just, it was ideal for me because I like the order of the day. I like schedules. I like that if I'm responsible for this, so are you. And that helps me, although I'm creative in another way. But the environment, and I got, because they thought I was better outside, I got to mow grass with Father Method Corn. We used to call him Popcorn. And that was, I mean, anytime I could be outside walking up the hill, I walked up the hill because the hill taught me music, taught me songs, taught me poetry, spoke to me. And that speaking to me got us in trouble one day, Barbara Jean.
It did. I was coming out of the restroom one day and she was in retreat. And she looked at me really weird and I go, what? And she said, well, I think that the hill's going to speak to me today. And I asked God, who could go up with me? And she said, the first person I'll find. And it happened to be me. And I walked out and she said, would you walk up the hill with me and listen to what God has to say? So I thought, okay. So I walked up the hill with her and she was showing me all the way up the hill, all the beautiful things. And she went to places that I had never even ventured to, way what they call it, Sherwood Forest. Is that what we
call it? I never did call it that.
Some people did, yeah, call it Sherwood Forest, but we went into that.
Grunt's property.
Anyway, so we went to look at the hill, and
while we were up the hill, we shared. I brought some sodas, and I was hoping it was sisterly love, that she loved to go with me. But all at once, I heard the storm coming, and we live close to the salmon breaks, and the storms can really create fast. And we looked up in the sky, it was dark, the wind started blowing. I said, Barbara Jean, we maybe better find some
shelter.
Protection. And there is a cabin up in the hills for the sisters to make retreats. And
but we were too,
we
far,
were too
away.
Far away. And all at once we could just hear the thunder and lightning and the wind roaring. And I thought, we're going to die. Because we were right in the pine trees. Trees were cracking and buckling. And
hailstorms. And we went down to a little...
Well, actually it was a log and yeah, sat
and we,
on it.
And we held each other's head to keep the... being
pelted with
and
the...
And I thought we were going to die. Yeah. Because this microburst came and it just acted like an arm and it took trees off 6 feet
sheared.
And it just sheared trees off 6 feet above the ground. Really, really scary.
And I said to our Lord, well, I guess you don't want me to go to my mission this year. Okay, it's okay. I'm ready to go. I'm with Barbara. And as soon as it came, off it went in the distance.
Just instant silence except for trees continuing to fall.
We both stood up and I was shaky. And I looked back at a tree that I used as a marker. It was fallen. And I just started to cry. I thought, the heel doesn't want me here anymore. And that was kind of a clue to me. It said something. And I never felt the same going back up to the hill. The hill turned me away from it for a while.
And I said to her, Marianne, next time you think God's going to speak to you, I said, don't invite me. That was really, really frightening.
So the other day when we went up for a walk a week ago, I had permission to be part of their bubble. And I brought my little dog that my brother gave me that thought I needed to have a little dog since I live alone. And I retired in Cooterville, Idaho, a little small village 3 miles from here. And I love it. Some people like to go to the Bahamas and I like Cooterville, Idaho because of the trees and the quiet and the beauty and the birds. And if you go hiking, you have to be real careful because it might be bears, other varmints out there. That's why people carry guns up there, but I don't. No, so that walk up the hill the other day was really the first time I felt at peace and calm since that experience with us a while back. So...
And while you were still in the monastery, however, one of the things that that got to happen, our lives intertwined again. We always got assigned to where we had to go. We never got a choice. And every 2 years, they moved me to a different school. Well, I was principal at a school in Rupert, and Marianne was assigned to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the only two on the mission.
Well, the first year we weren't. There was another person.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, from my viewpoint, Marianne was the best teacher I had ever supervised. And because of our musical background or whatever, we would give concerts. We did, spring, summer?
Yeah, programs.
Programs.
We did liturgies. Liturgies. Church service. Very creative with our music. And Barbara Jean was a very good principal. She demanded a lot from us. But see, again, I like that structure. I like knowing what's expected of me, and I will do that and beyond. I'm dependable, responsible, and I think I learned all those values from the farm.
And one of the things, I had given I organized a play in one of my places in Greek Creek. And I put the whole play around having the drummer boy, but I used all the things around all the Christmas stories and had all kinds of songs and whatever. And the play was, and we taught, if you were in first, second, seventh, or eighth grade, you belonged to the Catholic school. And if you were 3, 4, 5, and 6, you belonged to the public school in that town. And so anyway, I had first, second, seventh, and eighth. And so I had one of my eighth grade boys to be the father of the drummer boy. And the drummer boy was supposed to fall asleep during the play. Well, he actually did, but he was a bedwetter and he wet his pants. And I could just see the horror on the boy's face, you know, as this little puddle is going down. And I thought, what's going on? What's going on? And I looked and little Joey was sound asleep. And at the very end of the play, the father kind of woke Joey up, and Joey got his little drum and played the whole drumming song with the little spot down the middle of his pants. We were all falling off our chairs.
Or rum bum bum bum. Okay. Now, I just wanted to mention here that when I was in the monastery, my education continued. My father and mother provided us with a very good education. And when I was in the monastery, I was able to achieve a master's of arts degree. And I worked a lot in, and then after I left the convent, I used that in Yuma, Arizona for 23 years. And I taught in the inner city schools there, and I got my bilingual endorsement. So I believe, and I have no anxiety or hate towards the monastery. I feel that I'm still apart in a lot of ways, here but not here. I don't know, is there something else you need to say, Barbara Jean, before?
Well, one of the things, you know, about you up the hill is that, you know, the story of Maria, you know, what are you going to do with a person like Maria? That would be like Marianne, because she was always up the hill at least 5 to 6 times a week.
Yeah.
And came flying down in just in time for prayer, because everything in the monastery is so regimented according to being down in. You always made it in time for prayer, though. You were
I did, and I might have cowboy boots on, and I got was the first nun to wear Levi's. I told them that my veil kept getting caught in the lawnmower, so I got to put on a cowboy hat. And my cowboy boots, I had those to protect my legs, and then I ended up with the whole outfit on and lawnmowing and having a good time. They allowed me to be me, and it was there that I found out that I was creative, and well, I knew it was, you know, that you finally can say, I'm a creative person, innovative, spontaneous, and I can do these things. I was entertained. I learned how to entertain and do skits and programs. And I play lots of instruments now. I play guitar and ukulele, drums, piano, organ, and Indian whistle, Irish whistle. It was just, I feel like music is a part of who I am. And I took those skills into the classroom, along with my environmental skills, and I started environmental programs in Yuma, Arizona, that still are existing today with different teachers and institutions. And mine was respect for the earth, or let the walk take you. And when you let the walk take you, it's amazing when you step out the door and just say, okay, where do I go today? And let the earth move your feet. You don't move it. Don't be cognitive. And it will be an adventure for you. And that's what I found going up the hill.
And one of the things that when I was a teacher, a principal in Rupert, my kids, they were just kind of like kind of a poor academic class. I remember when I first got in, I had got my degree as a reading specialist, and that's what I would do with my teaching. And one of the things that the little kid that met me one day, he said, you can't teach me to read. And I said, I just got finished being a reading specialist. So I said, I bet I can. He said, well, so he became a teacher afterwards. He told me, thank you so much, because I had so much faith in him and taught him how to read. And then he became that teacher. And so, but with this class, regular school just was not working for them. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to get rid of the desks. I'm going to put their books in a tub. We're going to sit around these, what are those called? Those big round things, big spools for electrical spools.
Yeah.
I painted them and made desks out of them. And so when the kids came back after Thanksgiving vacation, it was a totally different way of doing it. And I had the kids study the history of Rupert, and they wrote books, they wrote for the newspaper. And then I decided, well, I'll just take them on a field trip, a camping trip. I've never been on a camping trip in my life. I took 38 sixth graders on a camping trip. And I decided you don't take parents few parents as possible, because then you, then the kids will respect you and you can have discipline with the kids. So my bus driver was a geologist, and I had, my nurse was a historian. And so between those two, and so the kids had to, we plotted out our trip. We had to earn money. The kids had to put on projects to earn money for the trip. We plotted out our trip, where we would go. And I made sure every night we were someplace with a swimming pool, because I wanted the kids to get clean. And one of the things that, you know, with this, with kids, they had to get off the bus and give a lecture as to where we stopped. We did a 240-mile radius around this, around Rupert, and saw all the different places. And the kids had to give the lecture. Then the geologist and the historian would fill things in. And then I had a morning, a learning breakfast crew. I had a noon crew and a night crew. And the kids had to put, prepare the lunches. They were all planned ahead of time. So and so at the end of the year, when we tested them on the standardized test, the kids gained an average of 2.5 to 4 years. Of, you know, because we just did, they did a lot of writing, they did a lot of studying, a lot of reading. And to me, you know, it was a year. And some people still tell me they keep their, the book that they wrote, their Pip and Pop book. They still keep their book.
Yes, I think that as a teacher, as a person, we have influences on a lot of people by who we are. Now that I'm retired, and I have been for about 5 years, what I considered, I came back to Idaho 7 years ago because Mom was still living and helped Barbara Jean with Mom. And my brother, I had a feeling about my brother Jim that he wasn't going to make it. And he lived about 2.5 months after I got here. So I feel the spirit calling me, and I came up here to Cooterville because Barbara Jean had some health issues and needed to move back to the mother house. So I thought if I could be here to help out the mother house and take her to her appointments since I'm single. And meanwhile, I gave some guitar lessons, and I come up here to the monastery, play for the nuns once in a while, or sing the program, or play the drums for Christmas or whatever. I feel that I'm still on a journey.
And we are on the journey, that is for sure. Mm-hmm.
And it's not complete.
And I had to laugh because, you know, they said, are you retired? And I said, what? In the monastery? They don't retire us, they just recycle us. I'm in my 11th recycle at the moment. And so what am I doing now? I'm answering the online prayers. And I just finished a huge, humongous project that I thought would take 2 years, but with some help, we've got it finished. And so we're ready to go on whatever the next step is. And my reason for being at home is that I had cancer, and it caused a lot of compression fractures on my back. But the thing is, and the cancer is back. But the thing is, you know, you just learn to live one day at a time, and you keep an upper lip, and you know, somebody will say to me, well, BJ, have a good day, and I plan for it. I plan on a good day. I set my day every day to look for love, and when I look around, I can find it.
Well, I feel that since I've been up here and back into Idaho, that our lives have intersected a lot
again.
More.
Yeah.
You know, that our, as adults, we're older women now, mature.
Well,
yeah. And maybe your question is, you're wondering about the Sunnybrook Ranch.
Not yet.
You have something else you want to say?
Did you give us our time yet? I don't think she did.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, then the whole thing on organizing backpack projects, Christmas for the poor, food banks, recycling, all of those things that we need to do in order to get ready for continuing on the story.
Okay, and the Sunnybrook Ranch is now Walmart. So if you go to Jerome, Idaho, that's where our ranch was. It's where Walmart is.
Over our pig pen.
Well, that's the pet department, and Walmart's over the big pen. So when we go back home and we visit our relatives, and relatives have played an important part. But I do want to say that our journey, as I said earlier, is not complete. But in this world that we're in right now, that is in constant flux, it'll change daily. And so I'm just happy to be able to be with Barbara Jean. And we have one elderly aunt, and we have two brothers living yet, and ourselves. And thanks for this opportunity to go down memory lane.
Yes.
I'm sure, I mean, we could do another 40 minutes if you want to put rewind. But I think that'll be it. Thank you.
Thank you.